The Gospel of Luke chapter 2 verses 48. The Gospel of Luke chapter 2 verse 48. Luke chapter 2 verse 49.
And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?"
How was it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? I want you to underline in your scripture that word, "I must." Now read one more scripture, the Gospel of John chapter 10. And the 14th verse.
"I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own."
Amen. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and I am known by of mine." I wanted to underline that word, "I am." Now read the 16th verse, John 10, verse 16.
"The other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring."
John 10, 16. "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." I want you to underline that word again, "I must." I must bring. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't feel or see any excitement among you tonight. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. I want to entitle the message, and I pray the Holy Spirit will help me tonight. "I am, therefore I must." I want you to say that word with me. "I am, therefore, I must." Amen. The first scripture that we read, Jesus is in the temple and he is only 12 years old. And his parents are asking him a question, "Where have you been? Why did you do this?" And Jesus is saying, "Didn't you know that I must be going about my father's business?" Even today, there are so many parents who are baffled by their teenagers. The teenagers are the ones who ask questions. Here Jesus is saying, "I must be going about my father's business." Now, when you read the scripture in John chapter 10, before Jesus said, "I have other sheep that I must bring into the fold," he used the word, "I am the good shepherd." So I want you to picture this in your heart, and I pray the Holy Spirit will eliminate it. "I am, therefore I must." "I am" deals with your identity. It deals with this question, "Who am I?" Sometimes people look at their lives and wonder, "What am I? Who am I?" And so the "I am" deals with your identity. And the Bible says, you are a child of God when you have put your faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. You are born again. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Only somebody with the revelation in their hearts of knowing who I am will be able to have this great passion within their hearts to realize, I am sent on this earth by God for a clearer purpose, a larger purpose. Just not to make a little bit of money, just to get married, have a few kids, build a home, have a nice bungalow, take a couple of vacations, party around, come to church once in a while. No, I have been put on this earth by God with a definite purpose, with a definite plan. There is something that I must do for His kingdom, which only I can do. His purposes and His plans of all my life will prevail. Praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I am. Sometimes as a preacher, when I go forth for a conference, or I've got other preachers preaching with me, and they might all be great men of God, fantastic men of God, greater anointing, greater Christian character, greater understanding of God's word, really spiritual people. And so when I stand with them, sometimes I go through this, oh my God, what am I going to preach now? Look at these men of God. Look at these women of God. They're so strong in the Lord, so holy, so kind of full of fire of the Holy Ghost. What do I minister now? Every time I go through that, the only thing that brings to my heart a sense of balance to preach is this word where Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. So suddenly I realize I am what I am by the grace of God. It doesn't matter who somebody else is. What matters is what I am by the grace of God. If God has set me as a pastor, if He has called me, He set me apart for His kingdom, then there is something only I can do through me that God can do for His kingdom, and I must do it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. I must is your purpose in life. Is your assignment in life. When you have an I must in your life, when you have an I must in your life, it is very compelling. It is something, you know, is greater than a desire. It is something greater than I wish. It is like a determination. I must. That kind of thought, I must, will bring in priority and order into your life. When I realize I'm a child of God by faith in Jesus, when I realize I'm anointed of the Holy Ghost, called to do God's work, and then when I realize I have an assignment from God to do what He's expecting me to do, I'm able to prioritize. There are certain things I can't do what others are doing. Come on, church. Amen. Hallelujah. You are able to eliminate certain things in your life. You are able to give up certain things in your life because there is a compelling I must. Tonight I pray the Holy Ghost will put a I must in your life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Someday you realize your purpose, your assignment in life, your calling in life. By the time you walk out of this place, you go forth with a burning heart where you realize, I must do something for Jesus. I must do something for His church. I must serve Him. I must glorify His name. There is something that He wants me to do. It is compelling me. It is forcing me. Oh, come on, church. Come on, church. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, this I must will get you out of your comfort zone. Sometimes people say, if it is convenient for me, I will do it. If there is nothing else to do, that's fine. I can do something. It is a sign that there is no conviction inside of you. This I must is a kind of conviction. I must. I must. Paul said, I must preach the gospel. Yesterday night, and a man of God told me, Pastor, a servant of the Lord came from North India, and the only cry of his heart was, India needs to hear the voice of Jesus Christ. India needs to hear the voice of Jesus Christ. India needs to hear the voice of Jesus Christ. It was such a compelling message. It's a burning thing that I must. Jesus, at the age of 12, just before he became a teenager, he said, I must. Can you imagine that? That's why you don't find Jesus going into a pub and having a drink. That's why you don't find Jesus sleeping around. That's why you don't find Jesus, you know, sometimes teenagers say, you know, just entering into our teenage, we are teenage or young person or whatever. They say, you know, we got our glands, our hormones functioning in a different way now. We got passions coming up. We got, you know, our friends around who is stirring us to do certain things. Jesus at the age of 12, he had this compelling burning passion where he said, I must be going about my Father's business. I know my mandate. I know why God has sent me. I know why the Father sent me. I know the purpose in my life. I don't want to fool around like others. I have a mandate in life. Come on, church. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That is why you should tonight learn or ask for the ability to tap in to your I must in life. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, I need to tap in to the I must in life. Every decision in your life must come forth from I must. Are you with me? Every no that you have to say in life should come forth from I must. Every yes that you have to say in life should come forth from I must. Realizing the call of God, realizing my assignment in life, realizing whom God has, why God has called me. I say, hey, listen, I can't do that, brother. I can't do this, sister. I can't get into that business. No. I'm not after making money. I have a passion. I need to preach Jesus Christ. I'm not there for the glory. I'm not there for the name. I'm not there for the attraction. I don't want the applause of the crowd. I am there for Jesus. There is a purpose. There is an I must. I need to prioritize. I need to order my life around that I must. Come on, church. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Can I ask you a question? What do you live for? What do you live for? What is the driving force of your life? What's the passion of your life? What do you want in life? What are you looking for? Why are you here tonight? What do you want? Is it money? Is it a name? Is it a business? Is it fame? What is it? Let me tell you, the compelling thing in your life has to be that which God wants me to do. The will of God in my life. I must accomplish that for which God called me. Why did I come on this planet Earth? Why was I born? Why am I presently alive and sitting here? Why am I listening to this message? It is because God has got a plan about me. God has put me in this church. God has placed me. God revealed Jesus to me because he has got a purpose and I must obey him. Praise the Lord. Lift your hand and shout to the Lord and give him a clap offering. Just glorify his name tonight. Amen. The I must determines where you give your money. What you do with your money, all is determined by the I must, the conviction. In the book of Numbers, the 23rd chapter, verse 12. The book of Numbers, the 23rd chapter, verse 12. The prophet Balaam is saying to Balak the king, I must speak that which God has put on my lips. The prophet was about to prophesy, and the king came to him and said, listen, this is the message I want you to preach, man. You are a prophet in my nation, Balak. Balaam, I want you to preach this message. I want you to say this thing over Israel. I want you to curse them. And Balaam was about to do it. Balaam stood there to curse the people of God. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And he opened his mouth. And he began to speak. And he began to bless the people of Israel instead. And the king got angry. And the king is asking the prophet, listen, why did you say those blessings on the people of Israel? And you know what the prophet is saying? I must speak that which God has put upon my lips. Praise the Lord. Big hallelujah. When Job lost everything in life, he was sitting there. His three friends came around him. They sat with him for a few days and they never spoke. They never opened their mouth. They just sat like that. And Job is also sitting like that. He's scratching. His three friends are sitting around like with him, just silent. Finally, in the 32nd chapter of Job, Elihu, the fourth person, he stood up and he said, I must speak. Praise the Lord. Amen. Sometimes I ask young people, when you go to your college, when you are in your school, when are you among your friends, when you are at a club, when you are in your sports gallery or wherever, you know, do you open your mouth to stand up for Jesus Christ, to speak forth for Jesus Christ? God is looking for a generation that will be bold. Praise the Lord. That will be courageous. Among in the Rotary Club or the Lions Club or among their friends or their social life or whatever, they will stand up and say with pride in their hearts, with boldness and with conviction, that Jesus Christ is the Lord, that Jesus Christ is the Savior, that He is the Master, that He is the Redeemer, that He is the Deliverer, that He is the Healer, that He is the one who is the only way of salvation, that there is no other name given under the heavens through which mankind shall be saved except the name of Jesus, and that you belong to Him, and that you're proud to be in a church that believes in Him and believes in His word and worships Him in spirit and in truth. Now God is looking for a generation that will be bold to open the mouth and say, I must speak. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory unto the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Today people come to the church, they don't even in the church speak about Jesus. In the club of friends, they're scared. They just keep quiet. But there has to be a passion. When you go to the gym, when you're in a restaurant, you should know where to keep silent and when to open your mouth and be bold about your faith in Jesus Christ and bold about your stand for the Lord and the place where you go for worship. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory unto the name of Jesus. Do you belong to that crazy church, the cornerstone that looks like a shed, you know, that covering? Oh, do you go there? Yes, yes, I go there. Hallelujah. I'm not ashamed of that church. Praise the Lord. I worship the Lord there. Hallelujah. I hear the word of God there. I glorify the name of Jesus there. The people who gather there are my brothers and sisters. That person is my pastor. He's our leader. Those are our worship leaders. We are committed to that church. Bold people, you must. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 19. Jesus is going through a particular town called Jericho. And look at the life of Jesus. You know, He's saying, I must dine with you, Zacchaeus. I must come to your house. I must. Who are the people with which you want to have dinner? You can't go to every house and every place. Jesus knew, well, I don't need to have dinner with the religious folks there, with the priests and with the Sadducees and the Pharisees. I'm very clear. I must go to this house because this person is about to receive salvation. Praise God. The angels of God are going to visit him. The glory of God is going to come down upon his life. The house is going to be saved. I must dine with you. See, this is the I must in your life that will help you to choose your friends. Who are the people that you will hang around with? Who are the people that you will sup with? Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory unto the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. It is the I must, the compelling, passionate thing inside of you. I must. I am a child of God, therefore I must. I am redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, therefore I must. I've heard God's word, I've given my life to Jesus, therefore I must. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, therefore I must. In Acts 18, Paul said, I must go to Jerusalem to keep the feast. See, you look at men of God like Paul. He was, one day before he became Paul, he was Saul, and he was going on the way to Damascus. A preacher said, Damascus, D-mascus. D-mascus. Religious people have a mask. Are you who you really are? The face that I see now, is that who you really are? Do you have a mask? Now this guy, Saul, was a religious nut. He was killing the children of God and persecuting the early Christians. But he was a religious fanatic. But on the way to Damascus, the mask was taken off. He met Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. He met Jesus Christ on the way to Damascus. Glory unto the name of the Lord. How many of you realize before Jesus you can take out every mask and lay your life bare before him and say, Lord, this is what I really am. This is who I really am. I am a Jacob. Make me an Israel. I'm going to wrestle with you. I must have your blessing. I am a Jacob, but make me an Israel, oh God. I want a change of nature. This is who I am. But here I am before you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now there are many people who are like Saint Augustine. Saint Augustine, when you study his conversion, he had two conversions. His first conversion was a conversion of the mind, where his belief system changed. But there was no change in his lifestyle because his heart had not changed. It is nearly 8 to 9 years later that he had what he calls the Damascus experience, where the mask was taken off, where he could bring his heart and say, Lord, convert me inside. And today, when I preach the gospel, I realize when you see people, there are many with a belief system that is changed. Now they believe in Jesus. But there is no conversion of the heart. They are still smoking. They are still doing all kinds of sin and all kinds of wrong stuff. But there is no conversion of heart. But what we need is the Damascus experience, where we say, Lord, I lay everything bare before you. Touch my heart. Change me. I want to be a new creation. I want to know who I am and whose I am and what you call me. Put that fire of your presence upon my heart. Lift your hand and say, Lord, touch my heart and change me. Amen. Well, this guy, Paul, after he met the Lord, look at everything that he does. He said, I must go to Jerusalem. When somebody came to him and said, a prophet came, tied his hands, tied the feet and said, see, the guy who owns this garment, when you go to Jerusalem, you will be imprisoned, you will be persecuted, you will be criticized, you will be slandered, you will be harmed. But you know what Paul said? I must go to Jerusalem. I must go also to Rome and stand forth as a witness for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. People with an I must will come, will rise over your challenges. You will get over your criticism. You won't say, oh, that person didn't smile at me, so I'm not going to that church. You don't have an I must in you. That person didn't look at me. That person didn't smile at me. That person didn't pick up my call. He didn't help me. Look, I'm going somewhere else. You don't say that when you have an I must. No matter what criticism you go through, no matter what slander you go through, what persecution you go through, when there is a driving passion inside of you called I must, you will say, I will go forth as a witness for Jesus Christ, no matter what. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I must. Let me tell this. See, don't allow your want to, override your I must. Don't allow your want to override your I must. There are many things that you want to. What would you want to do now? Some of you would want me to stop preaching so you can go back to your home. But you better sit and listen and say, I must listen to this message. This message is for me. Everybody's got their wants to. I want to have my career. I want to, you know, date that girl, or, you know, marry an unbeliever, or, you know, go for parties or whatever. But what you should look at is that what I must do? Praise the Lord. Amen. Once a person came to me and said, I'm leaving my family. He married children. He said, I'm leaving my family. I want to go on with my life. I can't take the responsibility of my wife and children anymore. Now they are earning for themselves. Let them look out for themselves. I want to go on with my life. I want to. I said, is that what you must do? Don't allow your I want to override your I must. The prophet Jeremiah in the Old Testament, the discouraged preacher, he said, I'm not going to preach again. I'm discouraged. I'm going to quit. I don't want to minister. But when he said that in the book of Jeremiah, the 20th chapter and verse 9, he said, when I thought I will keep silent and won't make mention of my name, make mention of his name, his word was like a fire in my bones, in my heart, and his word was burning inside of me. There are times in life, and as a preacher, as a pastor, it might shock you. I thought, hey, listen, I don't want this. To be very honest, responsibility freaks me out. Are you with me? It freaks me out. Lord, find somebody else. To be that good, nice pastor. Let me just get saved, go to heaven, but let me lead my own life. That would have been in the last 20 years, hundreds of times when I wanted to quit. But every time I thought about that, and suddenly I would hear the cry of a sheep. And when I would know somebody was trapped in something, or the congregation was kind of dry and harassed or whatever, suddenly somewhere the grace of God, the word of God, the burning of His Spirit would stir me up and say, no, son, you must get up and do what I've called you to do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Your I must will help you to overcome your timidity, your fear. David, when he stood before Goliath, and Goliath was challenging the people of Israel, there was this I must inside of David. He said, how can this uncircumcised Philistine defy the name of the living God and challenge the people of Israel? It was that I must that helped him to overcome. A person with I must will keep his focus, will not quit, will not give up, will get up back again after having fallen, will keep his eyes upon Jesus, and will say, there is a greater purpose for which God has called me. Whatever He wants me to do, that is what I'm supposed to do. There are too many people who are bored even in church. Paul Yungucho speaks about an experience where Paul Yungucho says, once in his church, they were going to have their board meeting. So after the service was over, the pastor said, you know, we're going to have our board meeting. So will the board members come forward, please? And all the elder people came forward, who are the board members, they came forward. And suddenly young man also came forward. He said, why are you coming forward? He said, I am also bored. And I'm a member here, I'm also bored. Many board members. There are people who get bored in church. Just bored. The Israelites in their journey through the wilderness, God was raining manna for them from heaven. And they got bored with the manna. What is this manna every day? What is this manna every day? A little bit of time of praise and worship. Then the preacher comes, preaches. Then there is a prayer of blessing. There is a prayer of anointing. Why this every day? But somebody with a purpose will see something beyond all that and say, God has called me, God has placed me, hallelujah. He's equipping me, hallelujah. There is a must that I must do. Glory unto the name of Jesus Christ. Lift your hand and give glory to Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. Praise His name tonight. Let your battles be ceased. Let your bondages be broken. Let there be a grace that will abound upon your life tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Your I must be greater than your I want to. In the garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was crying. He was sweating blood. You know, let me explain this. Never think that you can do the will of God without sweating it out. Jesus Himself had to sweat it out. There was what He wanted to do and what He must do. He must give up His life as a ransom for many. He must shed His blood for the forgiveness of our sin. But in that garden, when He thought about what was ahead, amen, He had to sweat out, battle it out, struggle it out to say, I want to do something else, but Father, not my will, your will be done. Not my will, but your will be done. Your eye must will help you to overcome your shyness, your timidity, your fear. Never think that you can come forth before the pulpit. You know, when I decided to preach the first time, when God called me, I had to struggle to get myself onto the pulpit. I was scared. It freaked me out. But this burning thing inside, I must do something for Jesus. I must somehow muster the courage and the grace to pick up that mic and say, Jesus Christ is Lord, he's my Lord. Now there are so many people who come to church and they think, you know, they can do what God has called them to do. You know, one morning you just get up, you come over here and say, today's word is, and you start preaching off like that in your life. It doesn't happen. Are you with me? I am. Therefore, I must. Tonight's message, I want you to meditate on that. The words, I am, therefore, I must. With every choice in your life, you have to look at what is your must. I must. I must is more important than people's applause and recognition. Are you with me? It'll help you to keep your focus. I must. Let's close our eyes tonight in prayer.